This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Gorlot. Hamdallah Mohib grew up the youngest of 11 children in a small village in Afghanistan, where his father worked as a county clerk. Twice during his childhood, his family fled his home country to become refugees, once during the Soviet invasion and later during the Afghan Civil War. As a teenager, his family sent him to London, where he studied and eventually earned a PhD. Now in his early 30s, Mohib serves as his country's ambassador to the United States. Ambassador Hamdallah Mohib, welcome to Worldviews.
Well, thank you for having me here.
If you could just tell us a little bit about your background and your history and kind of what took you down this path to become the ambassador to the United States for your country, Afghanistan.
Well, first of all, hello to all your listeners. And it's a pleasure to be here. Oklahoma has been really friendly to me. I think I'll be coming back more often. as about my path to becoming ambassador, I call myself a reformed technologist. I spent all my life studying computer systems engineering, and I did my PhD in 3D video transmission. My friends begged me not to do it before I did, because they probably knew me a little better than myself. I tried to run away from public life as much as I could. I think it finally caught up with me. But it's an honor to be able to serve my country, and especially in the United States, where we have at least a million friends who served in our countries, a million Americans who served in our country in the past 15 years. And I think that's not common for many countries to have. They're also very much engaged with, and since they've come back from Afghanistan, a lot of the veterans have companies that are related to businesses with Afghanistan. Some of them continue to run organizations, whether they're NGOs or other forms, to stay in contact with. Oklahomans have contributed largest number per capita troops to Afghanistan. So I wanted to make sure I reach out to Oklahomans personally to thank them for their service and let them know that it's not lost on, not only lost on us, but they have made a tremendous impact in making life better in Afghanistan and contributing to stability in our country.
Well, I definitely want to get to this issue of the current situation in Afghanistan and the current relationship between our two countries. But you mentioned our involvement in your country over the past 15 years. And although we're on the radio here, so people can't see you, you're a very young man. Yeah. And so this has been a good part of your life that the United States has been involved in your country. Again, just kind of from your personal experience, how does that affect, I suppose, your interest in relating with us in this way, is in that, you know, I don't want to guess, but again, a good part of your life, 15 years, that's a long time that we've been engaged with one another.
It's unfortunate for me to have been born in a war, but it's not just me. 80% of the country is under the age of 30. We were all born in a war, and it has been throughout our lifetime. There have just been different types of war throughout. We went from monarchy to communism, to anarchy, and then to extremism, and now in democracy. And lucky for us, though, that much of our adult life went through a period where there was relative stability since the arrival of the first troops from the United States in October 2001. Our country has been on the way to reconstruction, to rebuilding. Much of our infrastructure was destroyed during the Civil War, first of all during the Soviet invasion, and then the subsequent Civil War between the warring Mujahideen factions. If there was anything left, the Taliban made sure that that disappeared too. It's been wonderful to be part of reconstructing rather than seeing it destroyed. One of the reasons I'm very thankful and make sure that I reach out to Americans personally is because I have had a front row seat to seeing the transformation from total destruction to where we are, where we have nascent democracy, but some institutions have matured. Healthcare was almost non-existent. We had to go to Pakistan and India to treat Malaria. Today, our hospitals are separating conjoined twins, performing heart operations. We didn't have any universities or many schools, for that matter, that were functional. Today, we have 135 universities and institutes of higher education and hundreds of schools across the country. Last year alone, 1 million children registered, enrolled in school. And that's 5% of our population. We are a small country with small population, 23 million in total. And 40% of those that enrolled in school were girls. We've built 7,000 kilometers of paved new road. And in the next 5 years, we would have produced more electricity in the entire history than ever. You know, more infrastructure. Last year, we completed a dam. There were new investments coming into the country that are putting in infrastructure that we didn't have before. We're becoming what we have always been and what we want to return to, the hub of the Silk Road. Our motto for our country is a place where goods, ideas, and people flow freely. And we're on the path to achieving that goal.
In reference to your earlier comment about young women entering school, that you have, 40% or so of the students enrolled in school today are women. What are the opportunities, what do they look like today for women in Afghanistan in politics, in business? Are they playing more of a role in public life? Can you give us a kind of a snapshot of what it looks like today?
There is always this misperception that perhaps the Afghan woman and culturally were not allowed to play a role in society, which is untrue. It's the war that made the conditions so that they didn't play a big role. But they have, in the last 16 years, managed to regain at least their former place, and in some cases achieved even more. Today we have more women in our parliament than you have in Congress. We have over 400 female judges. For an Islamic country, that's a huge achievement. And by contrast, Iran has zero. It's just next door neighbor. We have 25% of our cabinet ministers are female. They're ambassadors serving us abroad, and you know, they play a role in every part of our life, including being nurses and doctors and educators, but also representing us in the Olympics and sports. Their role, they've managed to regain the former prominence, and it is at a stage where I think it cannot be reversed. We think it cannot be reversed. They were always referred to in Afghanistan as the mothers and the sisters and the wives. But today, they're no longer referred to as that. They're referred to as the equals. They're the excellencies. They're the ministers. The Afghan women, I must say, are probably the most resilient. During the war, people underestimate their role. Yes, they were not on the front line fighting. But they kept their children and they kept the future going. They were the one that provided the strength and made sure that the future of Afghanistan was secured by educating their children to be what we are today. So I'm thankful to the woman in my family, especially my mother, who's made sure that even when there was no hope, that she gave us hope, and that during very difficult times, she was a provider for us. She was a protector. And today, she plays a role of the head of the family, tells us what to do.
This is a really great story to hear from you, because I think many of us probably only see the bad news about Afghanistan and aren't necessarily hearing about the developments, the infrastructure, the healthcare, the education, the things that, as you said, you've had a front row seat to seeing and being a part of that reconstruction. But tell us a little bit more about these investments and some of the things that are going on in terms of a private enterprise. Where are these investments coming from? I presume it's not just the United States. It's not just people from here in our government that's participating. Are you seeing more of a draw of foreign direct investment from around the world in Afghanistan?
Well, the first investments are always the diaspora, the Afghan diaspora that are bringing back money. So last year, we saw investments pledged of about $1.1 billion. About $800 million of those were Afghans from the diaspora, and then the other $300 million were from foreign direct investment. Americans are unfortunately not at the top of that list yet, but this is something we're trying to change. We want to encourage American businesses to come. I have made it my personal mission to get American businesses out here. I've been talking to investors here. When we were in Tulsa, spoke to a number of businesses there, from oil to technology companies, to try to encourage them to think about Afghanistan. Now we give them some information. Hopefully, they will think about what they can do and if they wish to invest. I have pledged that I'll personally escort them if there is a serious investment to Afghanistan, so that to show them around myself and to get them to talk to the experts in whatever sector that they're interested in, whether it's the mining sector, the technology, transport and services, or any other. This is Afghanistan is lucky to be in, you know, in the, on the crossroads between Central and South Asia. Now there are close to 1.5 billion people that live in the Pakistan and India and Bangladesh, in that region. And they're energy starved. And the energy they get is from Central Asia. We're on the way to getting them. We can make that be that bridge between the two. But at the same time, Central Asia gets most of its imports and products from these countries. And again, we are on their path. But having facilities in Afghanistan can give you access to both of those markets. So we're attracting investments in mining, in the mining sector, but we're also trying to attract investments in service and production and delivery of it. Coca-Cola, for example, has had a base in Afghanistan from where it distributes to the region, not just to Afghanistan, and has been doing it profitably for over a decade now. So there are American businesses that have flourished and survived and worked well, and we want to use those as examples to attract others, but at the same time try to attract new businesses, especially in the mining sector, because that's one area that would bring us the biggest amount of revenue. It'll make Afghanistan self-sustainable. And right now, the dominant force in the mining sector, in not just in Afghanistan but in the region, is China. So it would be a great opportunity for American businesses to enter that market.
Well, we have to end here. I'm really sorry because there's so much more to talk about. But could you just very quickly just end with what is the one thing that we really need to know about Afghanistan today? Again, I think, you know, not enough of us really understand the progress that's been made in Afghanistan. What is the one thing that you think you still either need to focus on, need to do, or that we really ought to know about your country?
Well, Afghanistan dreams of having what you have, not the material products that you do, but more of what you have in terms of stability. We want to be able to save for our children's college education. We want to be able to predict where they go to school and when. At the moment, without that kind of a stability, we can only plan 2 years ahead, and sometimes even that is too far ahead. We want to be able to return to what we had in the past, which was a stable and self-reliant government, where we were self-reliant from food to living, and that's what we want to be able to return to. I want to say that Afghanistan is on the path to achieving that. We're very close to it than many would think. We still have a lot of challenges, and we must overcome that. We are also very thankful to our partnership with the United States. It's a fundamental relationship for us, and we look forward to establishing further mutually beneficial partnerships with businesses here and with universities and other organizations that will bring our people closer together.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Ambassador, for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's Hamdallah Mohib. He serves as the Afghan ambassador to the United States. You can find more information online at kgou.org and subscribe to our weekly podcast. Worldviews is produced in partnership between KGOU and the College of International Studies at the University of Oklahoma. Katie Holland prepares our research, and Jacob McClellan edited and produced this show. For Rebecca Cruz, I'm Suzette Grolot.